Amen. Well, if you were here last week, you may remember that I talked to you about how every one of us is a spokesperson for God. And I talked about how we've been called to bring a good report wherever we go. We looked at the story of the 12 spies that were sent into the Promised Land and how 10 of them brought back a bad report. And because of that bad report and because of their fear, they ended up, because they were so scared to death to go in and take the land that God had already promised, they messed everybody up. But we did find that there were two people in there that brought back a good report. And at least because of those two, they didn't go back to Egypt. And they didn't die right then at that moment. And the two, Joshua and Caleb, they told everyone not to worry about the giants in the land, not to worry about the fortified cities, not to worry about all the problems, but let's go take what God has already given us. And in today's world, we find some similar experiences. Everywhere we turn, we are bombarded with bad reports. It's all around us. And the world that we live in truly is a hopeless mess, the world itself, the world system. The world system is hopeless. There is no hope for the world system. Mankind has been trying to build that kingdom, the kingdoms of this world, apart from God, all the way back from the beginning, all the way back at the Tower of Babel. Let's build a tower and a name for ourselves. And God said no. And we're still trying to do it. The world system, they're always still trying to build kingdoms and empires and everything apart from God. And it's a mess. Life, if you live according to that system, if you follow, you know, their instruction, like for instance, evolution and abortion, all those kind of things, life can seem pretty hopeless, pretty useless, until we find out that there actually is a Savior. Someone who can rescue us, and that there is a God who has a plan for the whole world, and also for every individual in this world, and a plan that is awesome, truly, wonderfully amazing. And this is why we have to stand up and speak. This is why, according to 1 Peter 3:15, it tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Why do you have hope? Why can you smile? Why can you be, you know, all right about living in this world that's so messed up? How can you still keep your head on? How can you still have joy in your heart when you look around and see this mess? Every one of us, every day in our dealings with people, are bringing a report. Are we bringing the good report, like Joshua and Caleb? Or are we going to bring the bad report like the other 10, whose names we don't even know and we really don't even care? It was the people who brought the good report whose names are recorded. The people who brought the good report who lived after all the others died. The people who brought the good report who went into the Promised Land. The people who brought the good report received all the blessings. There's a lot of benefits to being the one who brings the good reports. Are we letting Christ shine through us as we bring that good report? Or do people see us as just another one of the masses of people who are lost? God wants to speak through us. He wants us to be His voice. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." We need to let God speak through us as we are led by His Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is speaking through us, we see the immediate effect it has on people. It hits them right in the heart. To do this, we have to do something that is what I'm going to talk about today, and that is that we have to be stepping out with boldness. We have to be a people who are bold and strong. God is calling us to be bold so we can make the most of every opportunity that he lays before us. That's how he advances the kingdom through us. Matthew 11:12 says, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of it. Forceful, bold, courageous, confident. Being forceful is being bold. Boldness is having the courage and the confidence to be able to approach other people for God. That's the kind of boldness I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody who's bold enough to go jump over the Grand Canyon on a motorcycle or jump out of an airplane at whatever it is, 30 miles or something high or something, whatever that guy just did. I mean, that's pretty amazing feats, some of those things. But you know what? They're not accomplishing anything in eternity. They're not changing people's lives. God wants us to be bold and to be a bold spokesperson for him and bring that good report. Sometimes we have to force ourselves to be forceful. It's true. It's hard sometimes to be bold. It's hard to stick your neck out. It's hard to get out there in front and say something to people. So we have to find a way to force ourselves, and we're going to talk about that. The key thing is that we don't have to trust ourselves. We don't have to trust this flesh. What we really have to do is trust God in us, the Holy Spirit in us. If we want to make a difference in this world, if we want to make a difference in other people's lives, if we want to leave a mark on this world, if we want to be an ambassador for God, then we have to be bold. If we don't step up to the plate and be bold for God, then who will? I'm sure many of us have heard a famous statement that Edmund Burke made that says, the only thing necessary for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing, or good women to do nothing. Do we really want evil to flourish? You know, we might say, well, you know, it doesn't really concern us. It's not my business. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. It's not near me. It's not in my neighborhood. It's not in my home. I mean, we can come up with all kinds of things. But do we really want our children? Do we really want our grandchildren? Do we even think about ourselves when we get older and older? Do we really want to live in a world that is infinitely worse than the world we live in now? Do we want our world to continually get worse and worse around us? Because if we don't do anything about it, what does it say? The only thing necessary for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And it's true. If we want good to flourish, then we need to step out in boldness and do good things, God things. Those are the kind of things I'm talking about. Good, godly things that need to be done. When Jesus went about doing good, when he was filled with the Spirit, it says that he went about doing good. When we do that, then good can overtake evil. And the kingdom will be advanced, and God will be honored and glorified. Do you know that good is more powerful than evil, and truth is more powerful than lies? But if the truth is not spoken, if the good is not done, then evil, just like weeds, will flourish, and it will get a foothold. And once it gets a foothold, it's a lot harder to deal with. Not that we can't. Not that we can't knock it out. We certainly can. But it gets harder the more established it gets. We've seen that in our political system. As we drift to the left and get more and more liberal and anti-God, it gets harder and harder to pull it back. And the same thing happens with just evil in the world. And some people might equate the two as one and the same. So being bold is being confident, being courageous, being forceful for God, ready to conquer new territory. And sometimes that new territory is right in our own lives. Those areas that maybe we've never quite gotten under control yet. Sometimes we need to be bold enough to tackle ourselves. Confident that God will strengthen you, that He will enable you to take command over those areas in our life that we thought, I'm going to be like this forever. I'll never overcome this. I can never deal with this. I can never get rid of this. We've probably said that to ourselves. Well, that's just me. That's just the way I am. And that's the way I'll always be. Well, you know what? If there's something in there that's not of God, if there's something in our life that's not good, it's harming us or even others, God wants us to get control of it. And so we got to be bold and strong and forceful and courageous and deal with it however we have to deal with it. We might even have to go and get help. Can you imagine that? Actually getting help. Maybe admitting our faults, admitting our fears, our failures, our problems to someone else. But we can be confident that God will strengthen us, that He will enable us to take command over those areas that we thought we would always have to be stuck with. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. See, God is working in us. It's called sanctification. He's changing us. He's renewing us. He's making us more and more into the image of Christ. And those things inside of us that are we think are maybe hopeless, that we think are too strong for us to tackle, God says, not with me, they're not. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God. He can do it. If we believe God's word, which will never fade away, if we believe that word, then we can be confident and be bold in, you know, going against, going beyond our fears and our doubts. So boldness has to first start on the inside. What happens is once we begin to work on ourselves, once we begin to see change in ourselves, once we begin to see that good things are happening and we're making them happen in ourselves, then we become much more confident taking that out into the world. And then we start thinking to ourselves, if I can do it, they can do it. And we can tell somebody else, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. And we can say that, you know, to anybody, any one of us. We're all sinners saved by grace. Boldness doesn't mean you have no fear. It just means that you've mastered your fear. I know there's been things in my life where, you know, a lot of different things where, you know, you sometimes you look at it and you're a little afraid, but you say, you know what, I'm going to go for it anyway. I know I remember the first time I went rappelling. If you know what that is, it's where you go over the edge of a cliff or a building with a rope and, you know, you step out over the edge. And I did it when I was in the fire department. And we were up in this, like, I think it was a 5-story building, and we had to go over the edge. And that first step over the edge is really scary. And then after you go down a few feet and you start bouncing off the wall and sliding down the rope, it gets fun. And then you can't wait to get back up there and do it again. I'm serious. It's a riot. You know, I mean, there's a lot of fears. I remember when I left the fire department. You know, the thought of leaving behind that paycheck and a really good pension that I had to abandon. I had to leave it. I wasn't fully vested yet. At that time in that department, we had to have 15 years. I was only there just short of 10. So I had to leave behind a pension. So I mean, I have no pension now, because I left it because I knew that God had told me to leave the fire department. That was one of the hardest things I ever did, was going in there and telling my chief, hey, I'm quitting. You know, I'm going to turn in my resignation. I remember when I was younger, I was shy. I was so shy, I couldn't talk to people. You know, I mean, I didn't know how to go out and meet people. Now I have absolutely no problem walking up to anybody, shaking hands, say, hi, how you doing? Going up to somebody's house, going to somebody's car and talking to them. It's like, because I did it. And I don't even know what started it, but it just, you know, once you start doing it, it changes. You know, we can allow ourselves to remain inside of our shell. We can allow ourselves to remain timid, shy, and introverted. Or we can begin to walk in this boldness and push ourselves. Like I said earlier, sometimes we have to force ourselves. Maybe we need someone to hold our hand. And that's all right. I've shown a lot of people exactly how to meet people. I'll give you the routine. It's very simple, and it's something every one of us here should be doing. You walk up to somebody, you stick out your hand, and you say, hi, my name is Pastor John. Hi, my name is Esther Ramsey. Hi, my name is Bob Cassidy. Hi, my name is Betty Lindebar. And they don't, most people, I have never had anyone yet who just stands there and goes, so? I guess it could happen, but I've never seen anybody do that. That would really knock you, wouldn't it, if somebody did that, looks at you and goes, yeah, so what? But instead, they always put their hand out and say, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. It's very simple. And you start the conversation rolling, and then you just ask them a question, any kind of question. Hi, I've never seen you before. First time? You live in the area? Do you know somebody? Whatever it is, you know? It doesn't matter. You just ask a question, and you just start asking a few questions, and before you know it, you're talking with somebody. And it's really not that hard. Every one of us should be doing that on a regular basis, especially to people we've never met before. Go up and meet them, because maybe you're a little shy, but you know what? That person's probably a little shy too then, if you've never met them. And maybe you will be the one that helps them to feel comfortable. You may be the one that welcomes them, makes them feel at home, and eventually they give their life to Christ because you stuck out your hand and said hi. So this whole thing that I'm talking about today is just stepping outside of our little comfort zone, our little space, and, you know, boldly, with Christ as the reason for our strength, the Holy Spirit in us as the reason for our strength, stepping outside and touching someone else's life in some way. Here's a good example of boldness. It's found in Acts chapter 3. And it's one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, but this is one. I got another one coming up after this, but it's a shorter one. This one here is in Acts chapter 3. It's about Peter and John. If you remember the story about when they had gone to the temple to pray, and on the way there, they ran across a beggar. And this beggar, you know, was asking him for money. And so Peter says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. And in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And so this guy, he ends up getting healed. This was something new for Peter and John. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know for sure what would happen. But the guy ends up getting healed. He gets up, he starts jumping around, he's praising God, and he starts this whole chain of events that happens in the book of Acts in chapter 3, starting right there. And I'm going to read for a little bit here. We're going to get a little scripture study today. It says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. And they came running, you know, to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said, oy vey, now what did I do? No, he goes, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our own godliness We made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Now here's Peter, remember, who was afraid to speak. When Jesus, remember when he got taken away? You were with him. No, I wasn't. A couple minutes later, you were with him. We were one of them. No, I'm not. The third time somebody asked him, and he denied Christ again. He was scared to death. He was going to get caught and thrown in jail. And now he says, you handed him over to be killed. And you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that the murderer be released to you. You, he said, killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. I know you guys were just stupid. This is a shy, timid guy. Shy, timid Peter. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Now I'm going to go to Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people. It wasn't their job. These are just ordinary men. We're the teachers. And they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Now Acts 4, verse 5, starting there. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Under whose authority are you doing this? Who said you could heal that man? That's what they're saying. We're the priests. We're the leaders. We're the ones that God will use. Who in the heck do you think you are? By what name did you do that? Who gave you the right? Where's your papers? That's what they were doing. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, always need the Holy Spirit there, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which men might be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which man might be saved. When you hear these people on TV, on these shows that are afraid to give the reason, there is the answer that they should say. All they have to say was, let me show you this scripture. Let me read this to you. They don't have to give their opinion. They can just read God's word and leave it at that. And when they question them and say, is that what you believe? They say, that's what the word says. The word of God is true. I live by that word, and that's what the word says. I'm not a bigot. I'm just telling you what the word says. That's all we have to do. When they saw the courage of Peter, there's that boldness, and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who had been healed was standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then they conferred together. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle. We can't deny it. There's no plausible deniability. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we'll say our investigation is not complete. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle. We can't deny it. We can't hide it. The newspapers are going to expose us. Oh, yeah, not in our country. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name, in this name. See how the leaders, they're not with God. They can't handle God. They don't know what to do about the things that God's doing. So they got to keep people, shut them up. They got to shut them up. Don't talk about God. Don't talk about this name. Just keep it quiet, would you? We don't want to lose our jobs. That's what was going on there. That's what I mean. It's very similar in some ways to what's going on right now. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, and I love this line, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Sometimes people get in trouble when they share what they've seen and heard. These guys got in trouble. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because everybody was praising God for what had happened. If we really punish them, that could make us look bad. We better just let them go and just warn them behind the scenes. So, 4:23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Can you imagine them sitting around? Yeah, they told us we can't even talk about Jesus. Oh, yeah, you think that's going to stop us? When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Verse 29, at the end of the prayer, and this is what I wanted to speak out. I wanted you to hear in particular this verse and the next one. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Speak the truth with boldness. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, once again, and spoke the word of God boldly. Holy Spirit always gets in there. We need to be a people who are praying for boldness, just like the disciples. You see, it's not our boldness. It's not our strength. It's not us. It's not our intellect. We need the Spirit of God inside us. And then we just need to be obedient to what God wants to use us for. And boldly, just let it come out. We just have to let the Holy Spirit speak through us. That's the boldness. Just let it happen. Let it come. Remember what God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's pretty good. The thing that we were talking about, the song, God is faithful. And God is faithful, and He tells us that He will be with us wherever we go. Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid. God will be with you wherever we go. Here's another one of my favorite stories, much shorter. It's in Matthew. And some of the disciples were out on a boat late at night. They're out in the middle of the lake. It says they were far out from shore. And Jesus decides to pay them a visit by walking on the water. Now, this has got to be one of the coolest things to have happen to you, you know? Can you imagine that? Jesus said, it says earlier on that he dismissed his disciples. He was going up to the mountain. He was going to pray. He says, go on, guys. Go get in the boat and go on the other side of the lake. I'll catch up with you later. That's what he told them. Maybe God's been calling you to witness to someone, but you've been hesitant. You've been scared. You've been uncomfortable. What do? We have to pray for boldness and allow the Spirit of God to speak through us. Remember what happened in Acts 4:31. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. So we have to remember that when that situation comes, it's not just us. It's not. There are times when I'll enter into a situation, and I'm not bragging on myself because I don't always follow through either. Just like at Cedar Point, right, Alex? Every one of us fails. Every single one of us. I've failed. Every one of us has failed to speak up when we're supposed to. But there are many times when I have spoken. And the times when I do speak, it's because, hopefully most of those times, were because I allowed the Spirit of God to speak through me. I don't want to just speak in my own knowledge. I don't want to just speak in my own strength. I want to speak as the Spirit of God leads me. And He'll remind me of the truth. He'll remind me of God's Word. And that stuff, yeah, I already had in my mind, but the Spirit has to bring it out. It's the Holy Spirit who has to orchestrate that event, that connection, that touch. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God will fill us with boldness if we trust Him. He'll fill us with His Holy Spirit if we trust Him. Another area where we can be bold, and I've seen great results in this, is talking to your boss and saying, you know what, I need to have Sundays off because I need to be at church. I've had people come up and tell me, you know, I can't get Sundays off. They're making me work. And you know what, sometimes that happens. Especially some jobs, you can't get out of it. Sometimes you have to work. You're on a rotation or something like that. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about you're at work, and all of a sudden they change your schedule, and you find that, you're working Sunday mornings from now on. Well, wait a minute. That's going to change my whole life. I can't do that. You know, and you go up and you tell them, but you have to pray first. You have to get led by the Spirit of God as you go, and then you have to leave it up to God. You tell them. And you just trust in God. And after a couple weeks, if they haven't changed the schedule, you tell them again. And after a couple weeks, they haven't changed the schedule, you tell them again. You have to be bold. And they say, you know, you've already told me this 3 times. I know. And it's already been 6 weeks that I've missed church. You know, you just tell them. You have to do that. You can't throw away your faith, throw away your relationship with God, because they decided to change your schedule. Personally, I just say, well, I quit. Or I'm going to have to consider maybe leaving. I think I'm going to start looking for another job. If you're a good worker, which you should be as a Christian, you should be one of their best workers. When you tell them that, they should be thinking, oh, great, now I'm going to have to figure out something. Maybe you're in a group of people and the talk starts to get pornographic, starts to get dirty. And you hear them talking about this, talking about that, and no one says anything, and it just keeps going from bad to worse to worse. Finally, somebody speaks up, and you can end it. But you have to be shrewd, not prude. That's where you're going to get the results. The Word of God says we're supposed to be shrewd as a viper, but harmless as doves. There's a way to say things where you can get people to stop talking like that. You have to figure it out and be led by the Spirit of God. And there's a way that will maybe shame them, or maybe just change the subject. Maybe you twist it through a joke that's not along those kind of lines. Maybe you do something. Every situation is going to be different. But there's a way to break through that. Maybe you find yourself in the middle of a gossip fest, and we need to say something to stop it. You know? Well, we know we've talked about this. Why don't we just pray for them and let God deal with it? How does that sound? You know? We need to overcome evil with good. So there's going to be a lot of ways where God wants us to get bold. Maybe you're at some type of meeting, and it's not a church meeting. Maybe you're at some kind of meeting, and you just say, you know what? I'd like to open up in prayer. Whoa. Where did that come from? Most people will be afraid to stop you. They'll just go along with it. You don't know how many times I've said, especially at hospitals, when we go to visit somebody in a hospital, and I usually don't ask, or if I do ask, I ask while I'm putting my hand on them and starting to pray. And they don't stop. They don't stop you. Usually. I think I remember hearing Pastor Don telling me a story about somebody who said, no, I don't want you. I think there was somebody that he did meet like that once. But in general, people won't stop you. When you're out to eat, I'm not saying make a show of it, but we can say grace. And maybe when you're out with somebody, I was out with a guy one time, a proclaimed atheist, and we went to eat a little dinner, and I don't know if I shared this or not, but I'll tell you anyway. I says, do you mind if I pray for our dinner? And he goes, well, no, go ahead. And I got done, and he goes, he says, I don't really believe in that stuff, so you can have all the blessing. I says, no, I believe in it. And I says, but I want some to go to you, so you can have it too. So I just threw it right back at him. You know, he laughed about it, but he got the point across. I said, no, I'm praying for your food too. Praying for a sick friend, signing up for a new ministry, sharing a word or a vision with somebody, going on a mission trip, dealing with secret sin, confronting a friend when they're going in the wrong direction, when they're going the wrong way and we know it. Every one of these things requires boldness. We need to be bold for God. We need to overcome evil with good and shine our light in the darkness, shine the light of God in the darkness, confront sin, resist the devil, trust God in you. It always has to get back to that. Remember, it's not us. We don't want to become religious. You know, that's not what we're about. We're not like these, you know, stuffy, prudy, religious kind of people. We just want the Spirit of God to operate through us and hopefully change a situation for the better. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? See, we worry so much about what people think of us. Remember what Peter and John said? Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We need to step out in boldness and bring that good report to as many people as possible. We need to not spend so much time worrying about what other people will think, but instead be concerned about what God thinks. We can't give in to our fears, and we all have fears. We all do. It's a natural thing to have fear. Now, I'm not talking about a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God. But God put in us the ability to experience fear so that we can avoid disaster. Right? I mean, are you afraid of jumping out of a plane without a parachute? I am. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we should be afraid of because we can get killed. I'm afraid of jumping in front of a moving bus. You know, I'm afraid of jumping out of a boat far out in the water because I can't swim real good. Don't be afraid of that noise. It won't hurt you. The only difference between a coward and a hero is that the coward runs away from his fears and the hero runs through them. But we all have fears. So how do we do that? We have to remember who is with us. That God is with us. Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. If I could have the prayer team come up. Maybe you're afraid right now because God has been speaking to you about doing something, but you've been putting it off. Maybe you feel that God is upset with you because you sort of let him down and you think God's mad at you or he's upset with you and, you know, maybe you've gone too far or maybe you just haven't gone far enough, whatever. And Hebrews 4:16 tells us something very important. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness. We can go before God confidently so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, strength in our time of weakness. Be bold. Invite God to help you. Be bold. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say. Be bold. Step into the fray. Go into the midst of the turmoil. Go into the whirlwind with God at your back. Be strong and courageous, for I will be there with you. Remember, he said to Joshua, do not be terrified. I will go out and fight for you. Be bold. Come up for prayer and finally deal with the issue that's been bugging you. If you've never given your life to Christ, maybe it's time to be bold today. And give up. You know, there's probably nothing that requires boldness more than to humble ourselves before God. It's a scary thing to submit ourselves to God when we've been against Him all our life. But God, He doesn't hold it against you. He loves reconciliation. He loves restoration. He loves to welcome in even the rebellious, even the ones that were far away, the ones that left, the ones that never were there. The moment that we humble ourselves before God, He just welcomes us with love. This amazing love that it says that Jesus came and died for us while we were yet sinners. He sent His Son to die for us. Jesus went and died on the cross, not for those who had already repented, but for those who still hated Him, for those who killed Him, for those who crucified Him, and even for us. And right here, right now, today, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and asked Him to be your Lord and your Savior, He says, you are welcome to be one of mine. Always. And you can share that message. That's part of the good report that you can bring out. So let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is alive and well and here with us. We thank you that you are always with us. that we can trust in you, that you are weak, that we can be confident that this work that you began in us, that you will carry it on to completion. We thank you that we don't have to be afraid or terrified, that you go out and fight for us. We thank you that you love us so much, that you were willing to die for us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this body, that every one of us here would see ourselves, would be able to envision ourselves acting with boldness, stepping out with boldness into the different situations in our life, some that we can think about now, some that will arise unknowingly in the future. But Lord, I pray that we would begin to see ourselves as those who are not afraid, who are not terrified, but those who understand that we have the Spirit of God in us that will give us the power to go out and speak boldly in any and every situation that you call us to. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you, Lord God. We give you this day. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.